say these three things after me. There is power in the truth. There is power. Can you say it? I'd like to repeat. There is power in the truth. There is power in the truth. There is power in Jesus. There is power in Jesus. And there is power in being honest. Power in being honest. And the reason I get you guys to speak these things is to uproot things that aren't truth in yourselves so that you can soak in the truth. And I'm also going to ask you guys three questions, which I really want you to think honestly about. Number one, do you love yourself? Number two, do you love your friends and family? And number three, do you love God? And in Jesus' name, we're all going to walk out of here in love with all those things. Can I have my first slide, please? My next slide. In the Bible, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And this verse pretty much sums up my testimony. After years of tying myself up in knots and believing lies about who I was, Jesus revealed to me the truth of who I really am, and more importantly, who he really is. And it completely set me free. Free to live in joy and peace because of being free to be in a relationship with him. And this, my friends, is the good news that I want to share with you, that there is a way of being in relationship with God, not in battle, not in striving, not in wrestle, not in fear, not in hiding, but in a loving and gentle relationship with him. And this is why, can I have my next slide? Is that okay? Because mercy triumphs over judgment, because God's mercy is so abundant, and because God is kind. This is how we live in a loving and gentle relationship with God. This is the good news. For those of you who might be a little confused about what mercy is, it is forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish. Forgiveness shown towards someone who it's within one's power to punish. So when mercy triumphs over judgment, it means that someone forgives someone else instead of judging them for their actions or punishing them. God is really powerful, and he is totally righteous. 1 John 4 verse 8 says God is love. He is pure, existing love, completely perfect. And I mean, I think y'all are great, truly I do. But I think we all know that none of us are completely perfect. None of us are totally righteous. I'm not saying that because we're criminals. I'm not by saying that I don't mean that we're criminals. We may not be actively defiant. We may be, but we may not be. But we all have times when we just fall short of what we should have done. And this falling short places a gap, a distance between us and God. Because we're not perfect, we're not on his level. And gradually as time goes by, we fall short again and again. We gradually drop further and further. Oh, I didn't mean to, I just fought with my brother. Oh, I didn't mean to, but I just swore. Oh, I didn't mean to, but I just walked past that person who dropped their shopping. And we don't meet this level of perfection. And it doesn't mean that we're bad people. We're dropping from the top. We're not climbing from the bottom. It simply means that we're not perfect people. But the good news is this. The good news is that mercy triumphs over judgment. The good news is that God, in his perfection and kind mercy, though he has the power to punish us since we've fallen down and there's pain now where there shouldn't be, and there's this gap of separation, reaches out his hands from the perfect heavens, scoops us up, and places us back on his level, for he is so kind to us. But there's a slight problem with what I've just said, because although God has done that, first of all, how has he done that? And second of all, it doesn't mean that I won't drop again, that I will not mess up again. I'm still the same person. I still have the same habits and temptations. I'm just going to fall again. And that is why I'm going to tell you all about the beautiful and relieving news of Jesus. It's the best news. So basically, when God reached his hand down to pick us up and take us back to dwell with him in heavenly places, he didn't just send a hand, he actually sent himself. He became one of us, a human, to experience life in all its fullness down here. To meet with us, and actually to make a way for us to be able to be picked up and put on the same level as God again. His name, as you know, was Jesus. Which means God delivers and saves. Say that truth, God delivers and saves. God delivers and saves. And he was God, fully man yet fully God, the king over every king here on earth, the most beautiful, good God who had saved his people again and again and again, and the Bible shows us this. Worthy of glory and honor and worship should anyone ever meet him. And yet he was born in what was practically a garden shed. He grew up in this little town called Nazareth that was sort of rough. One of the disciples, before he meets Jesus, says, oh, nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth. Not to mention that before he got there, he was homeless, a kind of refugee. And when he was older, he spent his time with the people in the back streets, the rejects, the homeless, the sick, ill, dying, dead, crazy, mad, sinners, the prostitutes, the ones who got it wrong, the hopeless, the ones who just couldn't do it alone anymore. You relate to any of those? Well, sweet, because you'd have hung out with God. Guys, Jesus completely redefines what it is to be royalty. He is the king, and he spends his time in the back alleys. What is this God? Like, he's worthy of worship just for being who he is, for this holiness that we cannot understand that he has, and yet he doesn't demand it. He's not born in a mansion or tended to by servants or clapped and taken around in limousines and treated like royalty. He's just like you and me. And he was satisfied with that. Who here is dissatisfied with their life, honestly? Does it challenge you if I say that Jesus lived it and we're satisfied with it? It seems kind of funny to me that God would be okay with it, that he'd be okay with the mediocre life. But it's because the riches of the earth are completely irrelevant in comparison to the riches of love. Jesus is totally in love with us, guys. I want you to say, Jesus is totally in love with me. Jesus is totally in love with me. And I know this. I know that he loves us, not just because of his life here on earth, how he gave dignity to the forgotten, joy to the despairing, love to the rejected, healing to the wounded of body, mind, and spirit. All these things are told in the Gospels if you want to read them. But because of his death. So basically the consequence of sin, of falling intentionally or unintentionally, is that we fall so far down that we fall into separation from God. We can't climb back up or redeem ourselves. We can't make ourselves perfect again. We just fall in. And this results in death, separation from God, from which there's no going back. But Jesus made sure that this was not the ending. God made sure that this was not the ending. There's power in the truth. We said that at the beginning. And power can scare people. When Jesus was alive and teaching, he called God his Father. A really powerful truth, which was shocking to everyone at the time. For by doing this, he placed himself on the level with God. And we, as we know, as humans, are way beneath God. And so many sort of church elders at the time hated Jesus. He wasn't how they expected the one that God would send would be like. So they rejected him, shut him down. And as times were more brutal back then, they sought him out to kill him. They got him arrested. They arrested God. God is love. They chained up love. And they held a trial. There was nothing they could hold against him. Love is perfect. And they searched and searched through so many liars and accusers for something, and eventually someone remembered that Jesus had said, I'm able to tear down God's temple, and 3 days later build it back up, which was a way of him saying, I will tear down all the old ways in my death, and 3 days later I will build up everything again, brand new. But they twisted it and said he had lied about destroying the temple and decided that that was good enough reason to kill him. Execution was pretty brutal back then. In fact, it was so brutal that Emperor Nero, who, if anyone has studied, was actually a mad emperor, banned the way that Jesus was killed a few years later because even in his insane opinion, it was too barbaric. They flogged God. They whipped Jesus, tortured him, stripped him, mocked him, and they made him, in his next-to-death state, drag a huge, heavy wooden cross up a hill. But they nailed him to it, stuck it in the ground, upright, for everyone to point at and shout abuse at, and where they left him to die. The pain he endured is unimaginable. It is horrific. It's a means of execution that takes hours, hours of excruciating pain. To think that the man who had loved everyone he met, the rejects, the sick, the poor, the lonely, the unloved, who was so gentle, so compassionate, the kindest man to have ever walked this earth, God, was treated in this way. It breaks me. He's God. Why didn't he just stop them? Why did he let this happen? Why did this happen? This happened because his death was the price that it cost to close the gap between us and him. When Jesus died, death could not hold him. We die when we fall from God in our imperfection, but Jesus was perfect, so he couldn't be held. He could not be separated. He came back to life 3 days later because death couldn't hold him. It couldn't have him. He defeated it. And this defeat means that there is no separation. When he died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." The fight, the battle, the separation, they are all finished. We are made perfect again. Why? Because he took our imperfections on himself, because he took our place. Guys, it should have been us there. It should have been us who died. It should have been us who were treated like he was. But he took it because he views you as worthy enough that he wanted to. Guys, Jesus really loves us. He saw our destiny and said, "No, I will not let that happen to them." And he took our place. This love is undeniable. His mercy is so abundant that he did not judge us, but instead he gave up his life for us so that we could be back in the heavenly places, back in communion with God, back in relationship with God. Whatever you have done, wherever you have been, it is irrelevant. The price has been paid. You're loved. Do you see your worth? Do you see your worth in his eyes? You're so worthy that he rescued you from that reality. He stepped in for you where you should have been. He wouldn't have died for you if he didn't love you. Do you love yourself? Does it make you feel different knowing that Jesus is in love with you this much? If you don't love yourself, does it make you feel different knowing that Jesus is in love with you this much? I want you to say this with me. I am worthy in the eyes of God. I am worthy in the eyes of God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I know because he has rescued me. I know because he has rescued me. I got these shoes a little while ago, if you can see them. They were my absolute favorite shoes. They're shiny, beautiful, strong. I got them for £3 in BHS before it shut down, and I was like, absolute bargain, I loved it. And I've worn them so much. And because I wore them so much, they kind of began to break a bit. They cracked because I like plastic, but it was fun anyway. And I wasn't very wise about wearing them, and water got in under the top of the lining so that like underneath and inside is ruined, and eventually I will inevitably have to throw them away because, well, yeah, they're just ruined a bit, my sorry little shoes. But incredibly, my mama managed to find some more for me, the only pair left in the country about a week ago. It's true, we searched online, they're literally the only one in the country. And she managed to get them for £5. Yes, mom. And I know this all seems kind of irrelevant, but what I'm trying to parallel this with is that Jesus took our place and how logically that means that we must take his. He takes our shoes off us and puts them on himself. The shoes he originally gave us that we broke and cracked and ruined, and he walks the path of our life in them for us. While we, shoeless, have no choice but to put on his shoes, the perfect, beautiful, holy shoes, the only possible pair of shoes that we could put on instead. And guys, this isn't just a matter of now being safe and holy and pure from all the things of the old life. They are Jesus' shoes. So we now walk the reality of Jesus' life. Jesus was the Son of God. That means that I am now a son or daughter of God. Not a slave, not a distant human being on the earth. Guys, there is power in the truth. And the truth is that we are wearing his shoes. We're children of God. I'm a child again, free to depend on him because there is now no separation, no separation. And guys, it means that we now inherit all the riches of heaven, everyone, because we're now sons and daughters of God. We don't just have an earthly inheritance of money or a house or possessions, but a heavenly inheritance of joy, peace, love, forgiveness, selflessness, goodness, thankfulness, security. And we inherit these things by the Holy Spirit, by spending time with God, by spending time just worshiping and being in love with him, by reading the word and being set free by truth. And these things are what we live. We walk and live out thankfulness in the face of everything, especially exams. Joy in the face of everything, peace in the face of everything, love, forgiveness, selflessness in the face of everything. We choose them. We choose that inheritance. We do not choose the inheritance of stress, of anxiety, of fear, of insecurity. We don't need to because we're wearing these shoes. We have a heavenly inheritance, joy, peace, love, security, and that is what we choose in this season. And that's what we choose forever, but I mean, especially in this season of stressful exams. Because we don't walk on this earth anymore. We're walking in the kingdom of God, and that is how the kingdom is coming. The only thing that stops us walking this way is insecurity. Insecurity and worry that we don't really have this, we don't really deserve this. Insecurity stems from the fear of not being loved by God. Self-hatred, comparison, competition, anger, jealousy, and bad deeds are all fueled by the fear of not being loved. And I'm here to tell you in confidence that you have nothing to fear because you are loved. The price is paid. You were loved when you were still in your sin, and you are loved now. You are free of it also. Nothing can change the love of God. If we strive, we don't earn more of it. If we compete with others, we don't earn more of it. If we actively turn away from God, he will still love us wholly. His love for us is full. It's our knowledge of his love that's not full. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, our minds and knowledge can be renewed and changed. Please, may I have my next slide? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Behold, I am making all things new. By the gentle and beautiful power of the Holy Spirit, we can inherit the rich and true knowledge of the love of God. We can inherit that. That completely shuts down insecurity and worry and fear and enables us to walk in the freedom that the cross brought and the freedom of the kingdom that has come. There is power in the truth. The love of God is true. Love transforms. There is power in the love of God to transform us. Love yourself, guys. You are worthy and valued and saved by the God over everything. Love your friends and family, for so are they. There is no fear in love, and there is no fear of separation anymore. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's the truth. Finally, love God because he is good, because his mercy triumphs over judgment, something that is so rarely done anymore. Because he saves you. Because you are now his son or daughter, and because you are so loved. So I want to make a call. It's God's heart cry that you guys are set free from all the things that have hold over your life that are not him. This is a passage from Mark. A man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came to Jesus, knelt down, and begged him for help. If you want to, he said, you can make me clean. Jesus was filled with pity and reached down and touched him. I do want to, he answered. Be clean. And at once the disease left the man, and he was clean. I share with you this because there's people in here that have cries from their hearts that they really want God to hear. God, do you want, are you willing? Will you do this for me? Yes, I do want. I am willing. Can I invite you all to stand? There are people in here who heard truth tonight that has really rocked them. People in here who realize that they don't love themselves, but they want to. People who realize that they do not have the assurance of the love of God at the core of their being, but they want it. People who want to be transformed by this love. People who haven't been loving themselves how they should, how God does. People who want to be set free from the things holding them in their old shoes. People who want to inherit the new shoes and the new life and walk in the heavenly inheritance. People who are really hurt and wounded deep inside who need the healing that love brings. And people who need the fullness. They need the fullness and the freedom of the love of God. This passage here shows that when we're in need, when we want to meet with God, he wants to meet with us too. Say, God wants to meet with me. God wants to meet with me. It says in the Bible, there is no favoritism in the kingdom of God. We are all equal, which means we all have exactly the same expectation of God and right to be prayed for by others. So Sam, I'm going to just invite you to play. The reason we worship in times of ministry is because we worship in spirit and truth. And it says in the Bible, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so while Sam worships the Holy Spirit and with his music, we're going to worship our way to freedom by making a stand and saying, yes, God, I need you. Meet with me. Because that is worship as well. So I just invite you now, if you relate to any of the things that I said just a second ago, or if you don't, but you know that you want prayer, you want to meet with God, you want the freedom that his love brings. There's no favoritism. We are all worthy of prayer. We're all worthy of meeting with God, guys. There is no one in here who is not worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. We know we're worthy in God's eyes. Just look at the cross. He went there for you. He did it for you. So I'm just going to invite you right now, if you just need love in your heart, if you need the love of God, if you need to meet with him, just ask you to just raise your hand.